All right, Pastor Dennis White will give the main message tonight, but I'm the warm-up act here. How's that? So I used to call it. Anyway, so. Hey, did you see the moon? Boy, that was awesome. I love the moon. It's like, especially when it's that big. It's a super moon, you know? It's like it's close to the earth. It looks comes up over the horizon and startles you. It's like, anyway, sorry. I just was, you know, captivated by the sea of tranquility once again. So, right, I like a lot of things, but the moon is one of them. Anyway, let's pray. Lord, thank you. Bless these few words to our hearts and minds and Pastor Dennis's message tonight. We just have great expectation. Amen. I'm going to drop you right into the middle of the story of David and Goliath. And there's like a verse here that I've been thinking about, writing about, and talking about. It's right here in verse 28 of chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. It says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother," elder brothers. It's like, wait a minute. I am the elder brother. Sorry, never mind. Elder brothers, it's like they have like an issue in the Bible. Like you go through the elder brothers, like Esau, and then the prodigal son story, and then here, Eliab. He's saying when he heard David was speaking to the men, he came to the battle with some food for these guys, and they weren't very thankful because David was like kind of upset that Goliath was mocking the God of Israel. And you know, Eliab said to David, his anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom," this is the verse I want to point this part, "with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride, your naughtiness in your heart, and you are come down that you might see the battle." Well, there's a lie right there, because no one was fighting. Goliath was doing a lot of boasting, you know, a lot of boasting and proclaiming himself to be a champion, but there was no battle there. So David, there was no fighting going on. It was just, you know, one guy stomping his feet and Israel like pretty terrified about what was going on. But this part here, with whom have you left those few sheep? And I think about this, like when we heard the message this morning from Pastor Love about the incarnation and like Jesus came small. That's something I think about a lot, is like few sheep. Who did you leave those few sheep with? If you go to Luke chapter 1 and 2, you know that Mary, Zacharias, Elizabeth, this group of people, they were a few sheep. You know the verse, Luke 12, 32, the little flock verse. It's the Father's good pleasure. Do not be afraid. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, not North Avenue, the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give that to the little flock, the few sheep. This whole thing is like this whole idea about how God came small, like Jesus came small to the womb of a teenage girl who with a probably very, as we heard this morning, very confused person, Joseph, probably confused about the whole situation, a carpenter, a small girl, a virgin, a carpenter, a town that nobody, that had no reputation. Nazareth was a town of no reputation, but this is where Jesus does his work. It's with the few sheep, the few sheep. We got a great Christmas present in Dundalk. It happened the other night. A guy showed up, 48 years old, sat through the Bible study, and decided to pray to receive Christ. It's like amazing. Just like that. You know, you can pray for him. You know, maybe he'll come one time and introduce himself, but we're talking to him because we didn't, you know, we're talking to him because I wanted to make sure that he was open-hearted about it. It's like, you know, I was almost like saying, I could lead you in a prayer, but you don't have to do that. You know, I want you to. I could, you know, really, if, you know, I want you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, I've been putting this off too long. So in a bakery in Dundalk, in a stable in Bethlehem, the bakery in Dundalk's kind of messy too. I mean, really good donuts, you know, you know, but it is kind of messy. There's stuff around, not dirt, just stuff, you know, flour and sugar and all that kind of stuff. You know, the stuff that you're not supposed to. Oh, it's good anyway. But anyway, but Jesus came small, few sheep, a little flock. This is it, really. Lambs following the lamb. This is where we belong, lambs following the lamb, because lambs need to be led in order to be fed. That's the way it is with us. It's like the Spirit has come to guide us into all truth. Jesus sent him. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 16. The Spirit has come to guide us into all truth. Mary, she was a part of a little flock. When the angel announced something to her, she said, "Let it be according to your word to me." And the Spirit came upon her, and the Word became flesh. And then when before Jesus went up, after his resurrection, he promised the disciples, he said, "I'm sending someone. I'm sending the Spirit. The Spirit will guide you into all truth." You know, there's a lot of things out there that's not truth. They're teaching things, you know, trying to search, you know, find, you know, go through the labyrinth and the maze of our minds to find something out about ourselves, about myself. I can't find, you know, Jesus never asked this question. God never asked this question. He never asks me, "Who are you?" He asks, "Where are you?" Adam in the garden. He asks, "Who do you think that I am?" to the disciples. And Peter answered, "You're Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, Jesus asked those kind of questions, but he knows who I am. He knows exactly who I am. He knows what I'm made of. He knows how he breathed into me. He knows that I am a little lamb that needs to be led by the shepherd into all truth. It's like, I want to think about that during the course of this time. Like, what am I reading? What am I thinking about? What kind of adventure am I going on in my own brain? I can't fix myself. Why don't I just come to the one who knows who I am? He already knows everything that I need. He can guide me into all truth, like a lamb that needs to be fed. Jesus came small. Jesus came. The super moon is cool, but Jesus came small. He came small. And we have to search for him. We have to listen to what he says to us. We have to let him guide us as the shepherd into all truth. And so it's great to think about you. Just a few sheep. Don't be like, let's not be so concerned about how big things are, how accepted we are, how popular we are. I said it at a group, a Bible study a while ago, that we don't get to have it any better than Jesus had it. You know, it's good that we could have, like, we have 12 or 800 or something like that. It's good to be the few sheep, the little flock. It's going to make a big difference. Amen. Well, Lord, thank you for these thoughts, and now bless this message from Pastor Dennis White. Why don't you stand and greet him? Change your position. Get ready for this message.
Okay, let's just, good evening. Please, stay standing. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. I love this time of year, don't you? Yeah, I mean, it's Christmas. That's great, too. But I love the cold weather. No, I love Christmas. I really love this kind of weather. So, Luke chapter 1. This is one of my favorite stories about the Christmas season, so I wanted to share it with you. This is about Mary, and the angel comes to Mary, and I really love how personal, and just as we are in this Christmas season, how God is speaking to us as little lambs, you know, and as Jesus speaks to people, it often is this way, isn't it, where God is speaking to somebody else that is small, because they're often more aware that God is there. And here is Mary. Let's start in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come into the angel, said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. "Blessed are you among women." But when she saw this, she was troubled at this saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Wow. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and you will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Don't worry, Mary, no pressure. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who has been called barren. Now with God, nothing will be impossible." And this beautiful response by Mary. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you'll open these words to us. Just speak to our hearts. Meet our needs, Lord. We are here because we are hungry for you. We desire for the Spirit to speak to us, Lord. Just as we heard just now, we are little sheep listening for that voice. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And when I was reading this passage, actually, I had an idea to speak about worship, because worship is so beautiful. And later on in the passage, you see like Mary's response to this whole event, and in the initial response, we're going to talk about that, but at the end, the response is worship, isn't it? She agrees with the word of God. She is obeying the word of God. She is rejoicing. She is praying. It's like so beautiful, but it is so amazing here in verse 29. Just read that verse, and it says, "But when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying and considered what manner of greeting this was." I mean, here is, you know, we heard just a few moments ago, here is a young lady. Really, she is nobody. But an angel comes to her and has this great thing that he is saying to her. And it's a great thing for anybody, actually. It doesn't matter who it is, really. And here is this angel saying something. And she is troubled. And I love that. And it says that, and she considered what manner of greeting this was. I mean, how many times when we hear a message, how many times when we are before God, are we troubled? You know, and after, I was thinking about that, and you know, honestly, I was wondering, am I troubled enough? I was wondering about that. I mean, when I am before God, how comfortable am I? And I should be comfortable because he is my Father, but here is God saying something to Mary, and she is troubled. And it's amazing to me because in the Greek word here, it means like there is, like imagine a bowl of water, and at the bottom of the bowl, there is a bunch of sludge. But at the top of the bowl, the water is clear. And you look inside and you say, look at how clean this water is. Then all of a sudden you take a stick and you mix the bowl up and all that sludge rises to the top and the water, you can't see through it anymore. That is the same Greek word here for being troubled. It's like something was inside of her soul. And in one sense, you could think about it that her life was simple, but just as we heard this morning about Joseph, that he was a just man, he was a good man. We could almost say the same thing about Mary. Like she was probably a very good Jew. She was a very nice person. There was something about her maybe that people loved. On that surface, you look into the pot of her life and you could see that clear water. But then there was a situation that came that was not so comfortable, that was that stick that kind of mixed the water. Then all of a sudden, all these things that were inside of her heart, all these things that were deep inside of her heart rose up. I mean, isn't that like us? We are sitting here and we are loving life. We are loving our church. We are loving our family. And then something happens in our life and it stirs the pots. And all that stuff that we didn't even know that was there rises to the top. And actually, sometimes we even scare ourselves when we see that stuff, don't we? Like, oh my gosh, what is that? Is that me? You look in the mirror and you say, you know, who is that man in the mirror? You know, and it's like we shock ourselves. And then it says, you know, this to me shows the demonic warfare. It says, then she considered what manner of greeting, or it says she considered in her mind. I mean, could you imagine, here is a young lady that is going to bear Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I mean, do you think there is any demonic warfare going on? And I think this here was like Satan's one little window where she received a projection from God, because she looked inside of that pot that before it looked so clean. She saw that and she was satisfied with her life. She was okay with the way things were going. But then the situation came that mixed it all up, and she saw something she didn't like, and then it was at that moment when she saw something she didn't like that she considered in her mind something different than she's ever considered in her life. You know, this is what happens with us. The situation comes, it stirs the pots. And before you thought you were loved by God, before you thought you had a good standing with God, before you thought that you loved church, you thought people in the church loved you, you had all these kind of thoughts that are true. But then something is stirred to the top, then all of a sudden Satan sends these projections and saying, look at what just came up. Look what just rose to the top of that bowl. That wasn't there before. How could you call yourself a Christian? Has anybody ever heard that before? I've heard it. You know, how can you call yourself, you know, a Bible college student? How can you call yourself, and then you could fill in the blank, how could you call yourself loved? How could you call yourself sanctified? And you know what, more often than not, the projections come from inside and not without. Isn't that true? Before anybody says anything to you, you've already had that same exact thought. And it's not until you're secure of who you are, and then you receive these thoughts and you can cast them away, then it starts coming from the outside. You deal with your own demons inside. You deal with that old, your own kind of dirty pot that's inside of you, and then other people begin to project those thoughts on you. And it seems that it never ends. You know, here is Mary, a good person maybe, and she has this kind of thought, I am okay with God. I am okay in my community. I'm okay with my life. And that is brought to the top. The situation brings something that she didn't even see. Oftentimes our life is good and we seem good, but that stirring of the pot reveals something dirty inside of our life. This revelation of something deep that is inside of us prompts us to question, am I saved? Am I justified? Now, it is interesting, this word to be troubled and also this word to have cast in her mind. In the Greek, they both had the same beginning, dia, D-I-A. And it actually means, let me read this here, it means a channel of act. It means a channel of act. You know, it is amazing sometimes how something that is sent by God to be a blessing can be a channel. It can be a channel to cause this action inside of you to be troubled. That's what it's kind of saying here. It is amazing how things that are sent by God can be a channel of act for you to consider something inside of your mind that was never designed for you to think with, you know, about outside of God. You know, because we read the Bible, we know our Bible, God says that you are loved. But then the situation that is sent from God, and the situation in this case was designed to bless her. Not that there wouldn't be trouble, but there was a blessing here. You know, and that very blessing that she was receiving was causing her to have trouble, was causing her to have these projections from Satan that had nothing to do with the thoughts of God's. I mean, We need to look at what God gives us. We need to look at what God sends our way as what they are. We can't turn what God gives us and turn it into a curse, which is almost like what Mary was doing here. She, you know, it's just, you know, and the amazing thing is that this all happened very quickly. You know, it wasn't like she was pondering these things and it was a couple weeks. This all happened very quickly. But, you know, what God sends us, we have to receive it from God himself. We have to receive it from the character of God, not the character, our own character, not the character of the world. When God gives you something, you must realize that it is sent by a God who loves you. It is not sent from a God who is angry at you. It is not sent from a God who wants to curse you or who wants to destroy you or who wants to kill his sheep. But it is sent from a God who desires to draw his sheep into a place where they are being blessed, where they are sitting in the presence of God. And it is amazing. It is so amazing. And I was thinking about this kind of thing. And if you look down here, it says, you know, the response that the angel has, he says, "Fear not." And could you imagine all of a sudden you have all this fear in verse 29, you're troubled, you're having these projections, and then an angel says, "Fear not." And you think about it for a second, why would I not fear? Do you realize what you're telling me? I am going to fear. For one, look at what I'm seeing. I've never seen this before. Look at what you're telling me. I don't believe it, and I don't know if I want it. But the angel says, "Fear not." You know, oftentimes we are told not to fear. But it is what follows the next statement is the reason why we don't fear. You know, we don't fear because we're told not to fear. We don't fear because of who God is. And here in this case, it is so beautiful. We don't fear because she found grace in the eyes of God. I mean, that's a good reason not to fear. I mean, don't fear. Pull up your bootstraps. You'll make it. Nope, that's not a good reason. I'm still afraid. You know, don't fear and fill in the blank. There could be many reasons not to fear. But here, the only reason not to fear is because we have received grace from God. Mary has received grace from God, and she is told not to fear. And when you follow in the Bible, when it says don't fear, there's only three kind of areas where it says don't fear. You don't fear because the presence of God is there. You don't fear because the provision of God, or you don't fear because God has heard your prayer. Isn't that amazing? You don't fear because of the presence of God. You don't fear because of the provision of God. And you don't fear because God has heard your prayer. What is Mary doing here? Mary is in the presence of God. I mean, here is an angel speaking with her. Mary is receiving a provision from God. And do you know what? God has heard the prayers of Israel. God has heard the prayers of the world, the crying out for salvation. And you look at all three of those reasons not to fear. You can look it up in the Bible, fear not. These are all three of these reasons can be summed up on the reason why not to fear. And Mary's provision was that she found grace in the eyes of God. Now, this is a very special circumstance, right? Like, you know, none of you are going to give birth to Jesus. You know? Yeah, maybe some of us will give birth to demons, but not Jesus. Mine's an angel, of course, but maybe not yours. You know, but this is a very special case. She gave birth to Jesus. You know, I am not Mary. I am not carrying Jesus. But do you know what? I still have grace in the eyes of God. I was looking at this. You know, you have found grace with God, 1 Peter 5:10. God is the God of all grace. I mean, you look at this verse and you see what the angel was telling Mary. You have found grace in the eyes of God. And you can look in the New Testament and you can find the same kind of words being used about us as his children. 1 Peter 5:9, he is the God of all grace. Acts 2:24, we have the gospel of grace. Like, it is our gospel. It is our gospel of grace. It doesn't belong to anybody else. It is mine. It belongs to me. Acts 11:23, we are witnesses of his grace. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, if you say tonight that I have never witnessed God's grace, you got to open your eyes. You got to look in the mirror. You got to look at the person sitting next to you. You got to look at your husband. You got to look at your wife. You got to look at your family. You got to look at your own self standing here today and say, I am a witness of God's grace, because we are. And do you know what? Our life isn't over yet. This is the most amazing thing. We can say, well, I've witnessed God's grace. And the amazing thing is I'm not done witnessing God's grace, because God is so faithful to me. So beautiful. Colossians 1:6, we understand grace. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, do you understand grace tonight? I mean, on one hand, we say, yes, I understand grace. On the other hand, I say, no, I don't understand grace. But do you know what? We do understand grace. We have experienced grace with God over and over and over again. And do you know what? And I hope this is true for you, but I know it is for me. I understand grace because I have experienced it in the body of Christ over and over and over again. You know, the body of Christ is a place where we are drawn to experience the grace of God. That way we can understand who he is. Hebrews 2:9, Christ's death was a gift of grace. And don't forget that. The death of Christ was a gift to you, and it was a gift of grace. Romans 5:17, there's an abundance of grace. Isn't that amazing? Greater grace. There is abundance of grace. Galatians 1:15, we are called in grace. Ephesians 2:7, grace is ageless. Now let me ask you this question. Do you have grace with God? I mean, what is your answer? And it doesn't actually matter what your answer, because you open up the Bible and truth says that I have grace in the eyes of God. I open up the Bible and I read it and I find that I am also highly favored, that I am favored in the eyes of God, thanks to the grace of God. I look in the Bible and I can see that I am called. I can see that I am abiding in grace. I am receiving grace. I am functioning in grace. I am standing in grace. You know, Mary was a very special woman. She had this great opportunity that was presented to her. But it was only by the grace of God. And in many ways, I am no different. I stand here, and you could fill in the blank. You could say that you are good, you know, relatively. You could say that you are bad. That could be relative. You know, but the most amazing thing is it doesn't matter who I am on the outside. It doesn't matter what kind of actions I have. It matters the grace of God being given towards me. You know, if it mattered who I was, I could never stand before God. If it mattered who I was, I would be standing before the angel and I would be troubled for good reason. Because what came to the top of the pot, what came to the top of the bowl, is absolutely true in my life. And that is what is going to define me, what came to the top of the bowl. If it wasn't for grace, there'd be things that would be cast into my mind, and they would be true. And we would have reason after reason after reason to say, yes, that projection from Satan is absolutely true. Yes, the reason why I'm troubled, the reason why I live in defeat, the reason why I live in fear is absolutely true. Because it is in the flesh. It is in your experience, maybe. But when you look at the grace of God, you look at how we are favored in God, all those things all of a sudden have a new perspective. And that is why, you know, Mary here was able to stand before the angel. She received these kind of evil thoughts for a moment. For a moment she received these thoughts. But they didn't have a place inside of her life. Because she knew that there was something greater that was happening. She knew that there was something greater that was happening in her own life. She knew that God was greater than her own kind of thoughts. I mean, in our life, how many times do we live in defeat because we don't go beyond our trouble? How many times do we live in defeats because we don't go beyond our projections? And God is standing there saying, I have a gift of grace. I have given you the gospel of grace. I've died for you, but you know that's a gift of grace. I have given you abundant grace. I've called you in grace. I have abundance of grace. You know, look at all those verses. You are a witness of the grace. Why are you denying the fact that I have given you something that is so beautiful? Why are you denying the fact that I have given you something so beautiful? And that is exactly what we do when we live in defeat. When we are bound by our trouble, when we are bound by our fear, when we are bound by our projections, we are living in defeat because we are denying the grace of God. When we can just accept the grace of God. You know, I love how this kind of story ends. The angel ends, for with God, nothing will be impossible. I mean, what is your anthem today? I mean, this is a very simple verse. This is a passage that we have all read so many times. But what is your anthem today? Is your anthem the same thing that the angel has said? For with God, nothing will be impossible? Are we constantly living in defeat because we believe only in our possibilities and not God's impossibilities? And then it says, and this is like where worship starts in the heart of Mary. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. See, that is what worship really is. It is obedience to the grace of God. It is obedience to the grace of God. So many times we think worship is singing a song to the Lord and raising our hands and getting lost in worship and getting lost in that praise. That is not worship. Worship is when you see the grace of God and you obey that grace. Now here is God. He is saying, I have a gift for you, you know, Mary. You know, and you could fill in your own name. I have a gift for you. Are you going to live in obedience towards that gift of grace? And if the answer is yes, then you are living in worship. You're saying, thank you, Lord, for what you have given me. Yes, I know, like in my own flesh, I know in my own possibilities, this is impossible. But I know with God that there's a whole new dimension of life. There is a whole new reality that I can experience, and that is because of God's grace. And I am led into a place where I'm no longer, now you go back to that idea of being troubled and being having those kind of thoughts in your mind. You go back to that idea. What happens when I receive trouble? What happens when there is something in my life that stirs the pots and all that kind of life that I don't like about myself comes to the top? What do I do about that? And you guys know what I'm talking about, right? You know, sometimes you're at work and something happens and, you know, we call it flushing out. It's like, I just need to flush out once in a while, you know? You know, it happens in our life. The flesh comes out. What do we do with that? Does that become our identity? Does that become our new habit? Does that become our way that we are thinking? Or do we bring that to the Lord and say, Lord, with you, nothing is impossible. Deal with that. Or we could actually say, let's think about it in a different way. Lord, you've already dealt with that. Because that's what grace is. Lord, you have already dealt with that action. Lord, you have already dealt with that flesh that just came out. Lord, you have already dealt with that. So because you have dealt with that, I never enter into a place where I'm receiving projections from Satan. See, if I deal with that trouble thought, if I deal with that trouble when the situation comes, I never live in projections from Satan. Isn't that so beautiful? Oftentimes you are receiving projections because you have never dealt with those situations. You have never dealt with your flesh according to the grace of God. You have never brought the flesh. Well, we don't bring it there. God has brought it there. God has brought it to the cross. But we never identify with our flesh being at the cross and being taken care of by the grace of God. And therefore, we are always constantly receiving projections. And you know what? As we receive these projections, it hinders our walk with God. Because imagine here, here is Mary, as she has these projections, and she just runs away from the angel. I mean, we're not trying to add to the Bible or anything, but I mean, in our own kind of life, this kind of stuff happens. We are standing before God. God is speaking to us. We have received something from God, but we are troubled. We receive projections, and then we run from God. And God says, hey, wait a minute, I have a gift for you. I remember one time we were soul winning in China, and, you know, I stand out a little bit because, you know, I'm white, and they're not. They're Chinese. And so we're like in a mall area shopping, and I walked up to this guy, and he kind of saw me out of the corner of my eye, so he started walking a little bit faster. And I was like determined, I'm going to, you know, tell this guy about the grace of God. So he started walking faster, so I walked faster. And then he started running, actually. And I says, you know what, I'm already halfway there. I want to run too. So I was running after this guy, and I finally, like, caught up to him. And I, like, kind of, you know, wasn't, like, violent or anything, you know. But, you know, I just kind of said, you know, God loves you in Chinese, just because, you know, just to tell him that God loves him. And he looks at me in the most strangest look. But oftentimes our, you know, connection with God can be like that. God is, like, trying to touch us. God has a gift of grace for us. God has something he wants to bestow upon us, and we start, like, walking away from him. Like, oh, what is this? You know, kind of looking over your shoulder. What is this strange guy doing? You know, and then you start running away from God. Because, simply because, you are not secure in your position that God has given you by his grace. You know, was Mary good? I don't know. But we know that she was in the eyes of God because she found grace. Am I good? Honestly, I don't know. Some days yes, some days no. Up and down. Sometimes I'm, you know, really good. I've been a good boy today. You know, some days I'm really bad. And then the next day I try to do something really good to make up for it. I mean, if you kind of live that kind of life, we are insecure in who we are in Christ. And we are never able to receive the gifts of God. You know, God, and here's the most amazing thing. We aren't giving birth to Jesus. But do you know what? The Holy Spirit, which gave the Jesus Christ to Mary, is living inside of us. You know, I heard one author said it this way, we are pregnant with the Holy Spirit. I mean, isn't that beautiful? We are pregnant with the Holy Spirit. You know, and what comes out is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's what happens when we deal with our trouble according to the grace of God. That is what happens when we deal with the projections according to the grace of God. If you don't, you're going to live your life spiritually messed up. If you don't, you're going to live your life according to your own abilities and not according to God's abilities. And you know what, tonight, I mean, this Christmas season, it's like, I want to live my life according to the ability of God, amen? I mean, is that possible for me? To live my life according to the ability of God. You know what, and that's what God wants. God doesn't want you to live your life according to your ability. He wants you to live your life according to his ability. And you know what, we receive that by his grace. You know what? We are highly favored. Yes, we are little sheep. Jesus became little. We are little. We are little sheep. But God loves us. And that's all we need, isn't it? Amen? So let's bow our heads. All right, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you for Mary and just giving us Jesus. What a gift to us it was. And maybe there's somebody here tonight that you've never really thought about receiving the grace of God. You've never really thought about a positive way on how God looks at you. Oftentimes, as humans, we look at the negative and we see how God looks at us according to our inabilities and our mistakes and our failures. And we stack up our mistakes, we stack up our failures, and we say, look at what I have done. This is what God thinks of me because this is what I think of myself. But because of the gift of grace, because of the death of Christ was a gift of grace, because of that very moment and the very reason why Jesus was born, because of that, we all have grace in the eyes of God. And we could say that I am highly favored among God. Maybe you're standing here tonight and you've never received Christ into your heart. You've never received that gift of grace. I ask you tonight, would you receive that grace? Would you receive that gift? Would you let God do the impossible thing in your life? If you want to become a Christian, if you want to accept Christ into your heart, just say this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, but I accept your gift of grace. Save me, Lord, and bring me into your house where I can rejoice forevermore, where I can worship in your presence by the gifts of grace. If you said that prayer for the first time tonight, if you could just raise your hand. If you've asked God, if you received that great gift of grace, if you've just received that just now, for the first time, just raise your hand now. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that each one of us, we stand here by the grace of God, and that we continue to stand by your grace. We continue to walk by your grace. We ask that you'll minister to us according to your grace tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.